When we walk back out, you'll see the diagram that there was an enclosure around this structure, and there's indications that this entire passage chamber system, the Serapeum or Serapeum, however you want to pronounce it, was filled with water. As I was saying before, water is always a mechanism of operation,
right,
or a chemical reactant. And you can look here and see how smooth the sides are of this, which are indicative of the repetitive filling process that smoothed all of this out. We don't see chisel marks like we see in excavated areas. Okay, so there's two branches of this system. Do you have the flashlight? So we'll walk down this way first, and then we'll go this way.
Okay.
So this is just a lid.
This is just a lid, bro.
And we were talking earlier about the niches that were excavated later. So this is an example of those niches or alcoves,
yeah,
that were used for votive offerings, statues, etc. in this little area. And then when we turn the corner here, you'll get your first glimpse at the full size of one of these container objects. Now, there's a number of things to discuss about this particular one, specifically the space required to move this.
Right,
you can see the container itself almost fills the entire width of the passageway. So the manipulation and the movement of these containers within the system is still a mystery for how exactly they got these things down inside here. Moving it straight is one thing, but then turning it, moving it into a niche, and then setting it down into the housing is a whole other story.
Uh-huh.
So they had some civil engineers come down inside of here, and they calculated the weight of the stone, the volume of water displacement, and they thought that perhaps these things were filled with like a bladder of air.
Right.
And possibly that facilitated the movement where these things were like floated in here. Completely impossible.
Mm.
You can't fill these things with enough air, no matter what type of gas you use, to float this thing in through the Serapeum, which would have been one way to move these things in and out of here. Well, you'll also start to see that these things were finished in situ. They were brought in a rough state. You can see this one. They were going to eventually finish this part off here.
Yeah, they never finished it.
And it would have been a straight line.
Yeah, you can see.
And you'll see evidence of this with a lot of the other artifacts in here, that they were still in the process of finishing these things.
Oh.
And there's not much in here. We'll walk around to the other side. It's just more of the passageway. At some point, the project was abandoned. Containers that they were moving into the system were abandoned,
right,
left in the middle of the tunnel, and they left.
Right, right.
So we'll go down here, and then we'll take a look at all these as we walk back up. So I have a full series on my channel with a research episode explaining all of the mechanisms of operation, the physics and chemistry that make this thing work, and also an on-site expedition where we're gonna do the same thing. We were talking in situ about how this system operated. And I'll give you a quick rundown when we get to the first example. So here, this is just an empty housing, which there's a couple of interesting things to point out. Look in the floor here, and you can see that the floor is excavated down. See these niches on each side?
Yep.
And there's a housing here where the container doesn't sit on the floor. The container is anchored down into the floor.
Into the floor, yeah.
So it is locked into place. This is important for the function of the structure. So if this is just the bull burial, why not just sit the container on top of the floor? Why does it have to be locked into an excavated housing in the bedrock? And they set the containers down into housing so that they were physically locked into place. A couple of interesting things to point out about the lids. You'll notice these dimples in the lids, and I'll show you several other examples. So the dimples were created to remove cracks from the lids. Any imperfection in the container was removed, because when these things were in operation, small cracks would have turned into catastrophic damage. So they had to remove any imperfections, no matter how small. And that's what those dimples are a result of, removing cracks. So the question should be, how did they make them so smooth?
Right.
In my opinion, they were acid etched, where you create a reservoir of like a clay, for example, around the crack. You fill the crack with an acidic solution. It dissolves out the crack. Then you neutralize the solution to stop the reaction. You can wipe the thing out. It effectively removes the crack without the need for additional stonework. And then it leaves you with a smooth dimple. So that way you don't have to hammer or chisel or whatever right. tool it was that would make the crack worse. You use chemicals. I'm not a guide. I'm a friend. This is my Sadiqi. Okay,
he's a friend. He's a friend. He just knows a lot.
So same situation mm-hmm. here, where this is the finished part and this part was unfinished. So you see that they were going to remove the rest of this material on the top and flatten this surface out. So this hasn't been removed yet. This part was finished. This part is unfinished. Another part of the mystery of the Serapium, how are you lighting this system? You know, what's the light source? These people weren't in here working in the dark, but they were finishing these things once they had been set into place. This is another just really good example of the dimples where they removed any cracks from the lid. And these are all black granite, the ones that we've seen thus far.
Yeah, just more dimples in the top where they were removing cracks out of here. And we'll actually get a chance to go down. Here you can actually feel it. You can see how smooth even the dimples are.
Yeah, it's like all smoothed out. Things are incredible. So again, for perspective, our friend Jeff here is 6 foot.
Yep.
So these are very, very large blocks of granite. And look how shiny it is on the bottom, the mirror, like polish.
This is where an imperfection.
Yeah, look at it. I mean, it's such an obvious.
So what most likely happened here is there was a crack or a fracture in the surface where even that had to be polished down and finished.
Yeah, the scale is incredible. And the mainstream interpretation is that these were sarcophagi for the Apis bulls.
So based on what would that other vendor just big?
I'll show you at the top of the system. There is one container that has an inscription of a bull on it.
And that's it, that's all I need.
And I'll show that to you.
That's all I need.
Of the Apis bull.
So this is the one thing use.
So in the other one at the end of the hall, we have the unfinished cartouche. This one has the finished cartouche and your Apis bull.
And is this literally the only one that they use? This is it. This is the reason why they attribute it to the Apis bulls.
Yep.
Yeah, that would make no sense, guys.
The inside was always finished before the outside was finished.
And it is incredible on the inside.
Yeah, look at
it. Really is incredible on the inside.
Yeah, and unfortunately they blew it up with dynamite.
British explorers or some assholes.
Yep.
Tally-ho! This one's red granite.
And these are original. These bosses here that were part of the construction and moving process.
You really see how it's locked in place.
It's sunk down into the bedrock here. The whole thing is sat down into the floor.
Yeah. It would just slide down into place.
In both directions, like every direction.
Yeah, these things are truly mysterious.
The lid that you'll see on the way out is the lid for this one. And these, I will say, are actually executed to a level of completion that is compatible with the stonework of the box.
Right.
So you see some examples where that's not always the case, where the hieroglyphs don't necessarily match the stonework. But if you look at these, look at the execution of these vertical lines, and the execution of the hieroglyphs is very much similar to the quality of the stone.
It's not just
itself.
Like chicken scratch that's been put on there. Yeah, like, it's actually chiseled in and a part of it.
Okay. Yeah. Halas, Darwati, Halas. In here, there's actually a blue sandstone.
In this one?
In this one, yeah. It's broken into a million fragments, but it's absolutely beautiful. High microcrystalline quartz content blue sandstone.
Wow.
And I have footage of that available on my channel.
I didn't even know that there was a blue sandstone.
Yeah, but you can go inside of that with special permission from the Ministry of Antiquities. A very, very bizarre structure, not only in the internal configuration, but also in the components in the exterior temple. And you'll see the opening as we roll. Roll your window down, Jim. Please, sir. Okay. Yeah, and this huge hole that you're about to see is the opening into the structure. Exclusive footage from inside available at the Land of Pep.